The basic message of Sfiras HaOmer is that it reflects the link between Pesach and Shavuos. When we left Mitzrayim on Pesach, it was the beginning of a process that led up to Matan Torah on Shavuos. Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't an end, it was really only a beginning.
We believe that the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of being free, is not free to wander around like animals. Animals are also free. It's free to serve Hashem. Freedom of Pesach is the freedom to serve Hashem. The whole purpose of leaving Mitzrayim was to get the Torah on Har Sinai. The whole purpose of leaving Mitzrayim was to get the Torah on Har Sinai. That's what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu when at the snare. Hashem said to Moshe, when they leave Mitzrayim, Tavduna Talkim Al Har Azeh. It's Perakim and Shmos. When they leave Mitzrayim, they're going to serve me on this mountain. That's the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was to get the Torah on Shavuos. And this is the message of Sfiras HaOmer. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. The Sefer HaChinuch, as you know, for every mitzvah, he gives the pasuk of the mitzvah, he gives the basic halakhos of the mitzvah, he gives the reason of the mitzvah, the shoresh, then he gives when the mitzvah applies. So the reason of the mitzvah is exactly this, to show the whole purpose of Sfiras HaOmer, the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to get to Matan Torah on Shavuos. So we're counting. Counting reflects the connection between the two ideas. Pesach isn't an end, it's only a beginning. The Sefer HaChinuch asked the following question, which is, why do we count upwards for Sfiras HaOmer? It would make more sense to count downwards. Why? Because you're excited about getting the Torah on Shavuos. And when you're excited about something, when you're looking forward to something, you count downwards, right? When I was in the States, I gave a couple of shiurim, so I mentioned, like, in 7th and 8th grade, you count down until the school's over. Because you're excited when school's over. When you're in Israel for the year, so we don't count down to the end. We don't talk about the end of the year, because talking about the end of the year gets people depressed. And depression is the tool of the Yetzer Hara. So we don't talk about the end of the year. We don't even think about how many days. That's not part of our, you know, when you're younger. I had a roommate when I was in NYU. He was engaged. And he and his kala, every night when they get off the phone, would think about gematria, which would reflect how many days left till they were going to get married. Like 32 was lev, 13 was ahava, get it? So it's very cute, very nice. Don't force it on your chassan, Mirtz Hashem. You know, if he's into it, fine, but my roommate was a very wonderful chassan. I'm not sure every chassan would love doing that, but it'd be, anyway, so that's the chinuch question, and the chinuch is an interesting answer for that question. But the question shows the whole purpose of Sfiras HaOmer. We'll get back to that question a little later. The whole purpose of Pesach is to get to the Torah on Shavuos, and that's Sfiras HaOmer. We're preparing for Matan Torah. Rav Hirsch, in his Perush on the Chumash in Vayikra, and in his writings, in the collected writings, discusses this at length, and he mentions a few ideas that really fit very well with this basic yisod, that Pesach is the physical beginning, and Shavuos is like the spiritual end of the Gula. There's the Gula, there's physical Gula, and the spiritual Gula. Our first says as follows. Number one, our first says, the very fact that we start counting Sfiras HaOmer at the number one, this is one possible answer to the Chinuch's question. Our first says as follows. B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim after 200 years of slavery. What would your basic emotions be? One emotion would be simcha. You're happy. The other emotion would be relief. It's over. Whoa, it's over. 210 years of slavery. What happens the first day after you leave? What number are you up to? Number one. The whole idea being, no, it isn't over. It's only beginning. That's the whole idea of Sfiras HaOmer. B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim 210 years. They left Mitzrayim. It's over. No, it isn't over. Hashem didn't want them to feel relief, it's over. No. Hashem wanted them to feel it's just beginning. And that's why the first day after leaving is number one. The karban, that's point number one. Point number two. The karban brought on Pesach is the karban ha'omer, brought from barley. The karban brought on Shavuos is karban shtei halechem, from wheat. But first says, why? Barley is animal food. It doesn't taste as good. That's what the Gemara says. It's cheaper. Wheat is human food. But first says as follows. When we're free on Pesach, so we're physically free, but we didn't have a Torah yet. So our freedom wasn't complete. Basically, we were free. We could wander around, but we didn't have the Torah yet. We don't know what to do. Animals are free to roam too. So in a sense, we were physically free on Pesach, but the full ruchnius freedom wasn't there. So therefore, we bring a carbon of barley, of wheat, like animals, like animal food. Shavuos, we got the Torah. Now we're fully free. Our physical side is free. Our spiritual side is free, because now we know how to serve Hashem. So on Shavuos, we are basically fully free as humans. What does it mean to be human? You can serve Hashem. You're not an animal, you can serve Hashem. So only on Shavuos, when we got to Torah, were we fully free, the full Geula, the physical and the spiritual, and therefore you bring a carbon of wheat to reflect the fact that now you're fully free as a human being too. And the fact that you have a neshama, your guf and your neshama. It's a very nice fort that our person has. That's 2 points. Point number three, B'nai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time with Yoshua right around the time of Sfiras HaOmer. We entered Eretz Yisrael a few days before Pesach. That's what it comes out in the Psukim. And there's a whole discussion, their food was running out. And you can't eat chadash till you offer a carbon. They had to offer the carbon HaOmer. Look in the first paragraph of Yoshua and the Radach. He explains the Pashup Shah, when B'nai Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. So it's not a coincidence. Nothing in Judaism is by coincidence. How come Hashem worked it out that we entered Eretz Yisrael to coincide with Sfiras HaOmer? Why? That's a fair question in Hashgacha. But first explain this. Is the question clear? Hashgachically, how come Hashem did this? But first gives a beautiful pshat. First says as follows. The Jews are entering Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have their own land, their own country. Now, what is the purpose of the Jewish people having its own country? To have a strong army? To have a strong economy? No, nothing wrong with those things. That's not the purpose of having Eretz Yisrael. The purpose of having Eretz Yisrael, what Pesach explains, of course, is to serve Hashem in Eretz Yisrael and do the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. That's the purpose of having Eretz Yisrael. That's the idea. The ruchni is the one in the Eretz Yisrael. So our first says a beautiful pshat as follows. So the message, what's the message of Sfiras HaOmer? Don't be satisfied with the physical freedom of Pesach. The goal is what? The spiritual freedom of Shavuos. That exact message we should apply to our entry into Eretz Yisrael. Don't be satisfied with coming to Eretz Yisrael and having a government and having an economy and having an army. No. The goal, the purpose of coming to Eretz Yisrael is to serve Hashem Eretz Yisrael as the Am HaNivchar in Eretz Yisrael. The Ruchni, a spiritual side of having Eretz Yisrael. So the message of Sfiras HaOmer applies exactly to our approach to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why it's no coincidence that we entered Eretz Yisrael to coincide with Sfiras HaOmer. Because as Hashem wanted us, that first year in Eretz Yisrael, as we're entering the country, what should our focus be? Don't be satisfied with the Gashmias, go for the Ruchnias. That's the message of Sfiras HaOmer. So there's a beautiful overlap, there's a beautiful, I guess, dovetailing between the message of Sfiras HaOmer and what Hashem wanted us to be thinking about and focusing on when we entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time. You hear that? That's a beautiful voice from our first. I think it's a mamash, a beautiful voice. When I was in Shalavim, so I had a Rebbe there, Rav Serebnik Shlita, a major tzaddik in the Talmud Chacham, a very, very kadosh person, really mamash a tzaddik. He's not there anymore, he's another yeshivas. He pointed out one year on Yom HaAtzmaut as follows. He says, you know, Yom HaAtzmaut always falls out during Sfiras HaOmer. So he felt it's not a coincidence, for the same reason. He says, even those of us who have a positive view of the Medina, many Jews do, but those Jews who have a positive view of the Medina, no one thinks the Medina is the goal. The Medina is supposed to be used, having the Medina, we have an army, we have an economy, Baruch Hashem, but the purpose of Hashem giving us back Eretz Yisrael is to use it to serve Hashem better. That's the goal. The goal is to build an Am HaTorah here in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Serebnik thought that it's not the mikvah that it falls out at this time of the year. That we should apply the message of Sfiras HaOmer to our re-entry into Eretz Yisrael, our reconquering of Eretz Yisrael 54 years ago. I think it's a reasonable vort. You can take it or leave it. That's Rav Serebnik. I think it makes sense. Based on this, point number four, this is how Rav Aaron Soloveitchik explained an answer to the Sefer Chinuch's question. The Sefer Chinuch's question was, how can we count downwards for Sfiras HaOmer? How can we count upwards? We should count downwards. Right? That's what the Chinuch says. That's what he asked. And the Chinuch gives an interesting answer. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that's all, gave an answer based on other Rishonim. And the answer he gave was exactly this idea. Sfiras HaOmer is a time of preparation for Matan Torah. From the physical beginning of Pesach to the spiritual goal of Shavuos. So every day of Sfiras HaOmer is a new level in your preparation. So when we're counting Sfiras HaOmer, we're counting levels of Hachana. So of course you count upwards. Level 1, level 2, level 3. There's a famous saying people say, you know, during Sfiras Omer, instead of counting the days, you want to make the days count. That's this idea. Every day is a new level. That's a beautiful shot why you count upwards. From Ron Soloveitchik. It's based on the, he quoted it based on the Ron at the end of Pesach. We're counting upwards towards Sfiras Omer, towards Matan Torah. That's point number four. Point number five, which we'll discuss more some other time, just briefly now, the word Atzeres. We'll bring that up, we'll discuss some other time. The word Atzeres. There are two Yom Tovim in the Torah called Atzeres. One is the seventh day of Pesach, and one is Shmini Atzeres. No, Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres and the seventh day of Pesach are called Atzeres in the Chumash. And one shot is, why? Why doctor that word? Different shot. One shot is, the word Atzeres means to hold on, to maintain that which you previously gained. That's what our first says. Our first says that Atzeres means to hold on, to maintain that which you've gained. In other words, you've had a week of Pesach. So our first writes, the last day of Pesach, the purpose of the last day of Pesach is not a new Yom Tov, a new message. It's take a day to absorb and maintain that which you've gained in the previous week of Pesach. Shmini Atzeres is a day to absorb and bring back into your home, get it? Interact. What you've gained during the week of Sukkot, because you've had a week in the Sukkah, now you're re-entering your home. That's a word. Now, we know Chazal always refer to Shavuos as Atzeres. In the Mishnayos and the Gemara, Shavuos is called Atzeres. Why? The Ramban says in Parshas Emor, for this reason, that Shavuos is considered the end of a time period. What time period? The Pesach Sfiras HaOmer Shavuos unit is one unit of one time period, and Shavuos is considered the end of that time period, and therefore Shavuos is called Atzeres. Just like the seventh day of Pesach is the end of the unit of Pesach, and Shmini Atzeres is the end of the unit of Sukkot, so Shavuos is the end of the broader unit of Pesach Sfiras HaOmer Shavuos. The Ramban says, amazing, it's an amazingly powerful line. The Ramban says that, this is in Parshas Emor, in Perek Kaf Gimel, that in Vayikra, Parshas Emor, that Sfiras HaOmer is like Kir Cholo Shel Moed, Chol HaMoed. Amazing, that's a very powerful statement. Just like you have Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, Yom Tov, on Pesach, the Ramban. He says it's a Kir, not Mamash Chol HaMoed, you know, it's not Mamash, but it's like Chol HaMoed, Kir Cholo Moed. Meaning that it's really this, it's a very powerful connecting unit between Pesach and Shavuos. Just like Chol HaMoed Pesach binds the first day and the last day of Pesach, Sfiras HaOmer binds together Pesach and Shavuos. You got it? This is the basic message of Sfiras HaOmer. We're praying for Matan Torah. We're not satisfied with the physical freedom of Pesach. The whole purpose of being free in Judaism is free to serve Hashem. And you can't serve Hashem well unless you know the Torah and you have the Torah, you know what to do. We discussed, this is part of the answer to the Chacham's question, right? Did we discuss that in this? Right, this is like the longer version of what I mentioned in the answer to the Chacham's, explanation of the answer to the Chacham. Okay. Now, that is what Sfiras HaOmer is all about, based on the Torah. Would you call that, based on what we've said until now, that's what the Chinuch says, if you had to use the following words to describe Sfiras HaOmer, which ones would you choose? Happy, sad, serious, stick with those three. Of those three, which ones would you choose? Maybe. Serious. And maybe happy, maybe. Yeah. Serious, sad? Who said sad? Yeah. Where is it sad? Whoa. I said based on what we said till now. Based on what the Torah says about Sfiras HaOmer, what the Chinuch, you're right, that's what we'll get to in a second. What the Chinuch says, this is Sfiras HaOmer is a serious / happy time in our excitement, our Hachanah Matan Torah. That's what Sfiras HaOmer is from the Torah perspective. That's what it is. We read the Torah, we read the Chinuch, we read the Mefarshim on the Chumash. Now, Yael is correct. We know that we view Sfiras HaOmer as a sad time of Avelus. What's that based on? That's based on the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis. The Gemara in Yevamos says, Daf Samach Beis, that Rabbi Kiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, and they all died some death between Pesach and Shavuos, because the Gemara says, Ronagu kavod zeh bezeh. They didn't treat each other with proper respect. somehow they lacked derech eretz, and they died again. So therefore, we're in avelus over that. That was a Torah tragedy of incredible proportions. The Gemara there has an amazing line. The Gemara says the world was shamein from Torah. Shamein means desolate. Like that was it. There was nothing there except for Rabbi Akiva until he found five new Talmidim. And the five new Talmidim were Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Yossi, Rav Meir, Rav Elazar ben Shemua. Okay, but the world was summoned from Torah. And therefore, since, you know, that was such a terrible Torah tragedy, a minhag developed, it's not mentioned in the Gemara, by the way, a minhag developed later on, some points, to have minhagi avelus during Sfira to reflect the fact that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died. Okay. Now, this is interesting. Nothing in Judaism is by coincidence. Hashem worked it out this way. Hashem worked it out that we're going to have Minhagei Avelus during Sfira. So a reasonable hashkafic question one could ask is, how do these two things fit together? How does the basic message of Sfiras Omer, i.e. a serious / happy, exciting, looking forward time of Hachana from Matan Torah, which is the real message of Sfiras Omer from the Torah, how does that message fit with the very sad, avelus-oriented aspect of remembering Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim dying? I mean, we do both. We do both. Right now, we are preparing for Matan Torah. We're excited, looking forward to Matan Torah. At the same time, we have avelus. So there has to be some way that it fits. Hashem worked it out this way. How are we supposed to approach that the avelus of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim dying somehow merges, blends into our Hachana from Matan Torah? That is a very reasonable hashkafic question to ask. If you accept the fact that it's a reasonable question, if you don't accept the question, then, you know, that's a fair question. That's sort of, we shifted gears. Until this minhag of avelus started, Sfiras Omer was an excited, I would say excited, happy, serious time, but probably happy too, but at least it's excited, oh, we'll go forward. And suddenly now it's Zman of Avelus. How do you fit those together? Is the question clear? In Eretz Yisrael, Sfiras Omer has another component. It's Hakana for the bonfires. I'll give you some of the exciting attractions if I forgot. One of them is that starting from after Pesach until Lag BaOmer, the national pastime of the religious youth in Israel is to prepare for the bonfires, the Midurot, on Lag BaOmer. If you wander up by Bigan, you already see now, I'm sure, these little teepees of like wooden slats all over the place, and you have these little kids, ages 2.5 to 15, dragging trees through the streets or the like until they get to the Midurot and building these bonfires. And that's what they do. They find old boxes and old pieces of wood, and like, you know, if you have anything in your house that's not nailed down, they take it. That's what happens. And you see these little kids, the stick is this long. The kid, like, you know, little kid dragging it along. You know, my hand across the street. Yeah, and he's dragging this big tree along the ground. And then they have these Midurot on. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Lag BaOmer around that, or what the whole idea is. But you'll see. It's a really nice thing to see. And then Lag BaOmer, you have to close your windows and the what's it called? Which we sin, because the smoke and the ashes is so intense. The first time you live in Yerushalayim, when we moved, everybody close your Tfisim quick, because, you know, we didn't know the smoke's in the air, it gets in everything inside your house, because there's so many Midurot all over Yerushalayim. It's an exciting thing that the ashes and soot is everywhere, and you have to close your Tfisim and your windows. So if you're zochet to move to Eretz Yisrael, you'll see this year, if you're zochet to Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, that's a separate point. We're going to do it some other time. So how do these two things fit together? So there is a simple pshat and a fancier pshat. Or we'll call it the standard pshat, then a deeper pshat. The standard pshat, as well, what I'll mention first, this is what the Sfarim say. It's MS, it makes sense. The standard pshat is follows. Why did Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim die, the Gemara says? Because we are no kavod zeh bezeh. Somehow they were lacking in their midos, but on the chaveiro. They were lacking in derech eretz. So when we keep in Hagi Avelus, we are reminding ourselves of the lack of derech eretz of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. I.e., our job is to not have that lack of Derech Eretz. No, they made a mistake. We have to make up for their mistake and have better midos, better Derech Eretz. So the basic message of the Minhagei Avelus is work on your midos, but on the chavero, treat your friends more properly. And that, of course, is part of Hachana from Matan Torah, Derech Eretz, Kadma LaTorah. That during Sfiras HaOmer, when you're preparing yourself for Matan Torah, you have to work on your Derech Eretz. You have to be a good person in order to be a good Jew. And you have to have Derech Eretz and treat people properly. So the Minhagei Avelus of Sfiras HaOmer remind us of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim's mistake. And therefore, it reminds us that we have to have better Derech Eretz amongst ourselves. And that is Hachana from Matan Torah. So it blends in very well. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. This is part of our Hachana from Matan Torah, thinking about having better Derech Eretz. This is the simple pshat why. This is the pshat why. We have a minhag in shuls. What do you do on Shabbos between Pesach and Shavuos? We learn Pirkei Avos in shul, or on your own, every Shabbos. One parak a week. That's exactly the point. You have to work on your midos and Derech Eretz as part of Hachana from Matan Torah. Don't make the mistake that Bikinus Talmidim made. You hear the voice. That's the standard pshat that you find in the Sfarim and the Temes. That's the standard pshat. Okay. But there's a deeper pshat, which I'll get to in 1 second, which I find to be very powerful. And I think it's a very important idea. Yeah.
But isn't like what
people do? So there's a deeper pshat. This pshat I heard, those of you from Queens, from Rabbi Welcher. Rabbi Welcher is a chashev rav in Queens. Learning the Chavetz Chaim, big Talmid Chacham, and later I saw the same board in the writings of Avraham Cutler Zatzal, a great gadol in America. He built Lakewood. The Sfarim called Mishnas Rabbi Aaron. The writings of Avraham Cutler have been published. I heard this word from a vulture in Shul Friday night. Always listen to the rabbi's sermon, and then I used it that week in class when I was teaching in Shevach. And his daughter Basi, I think she married me. So Basi was in class and heard my Dvar Torah. She never heard it from her father. I quoted him. Then she said over the Dvar Torah at her Shabbos table back to her father. And he said, oh, Rav Ginzel said it over well, because she said it over pretty much correctly, which meant that I said it over pretty much correctly because she never heard it from him. She heard it from me. Get it? That doesn't happen too often, like you make the whole circle. He says, yeah, good, okay, you tell me you did a good job, because that's more or less what I said Friday night. Anyway. She heard it from me. She was quoting her father to himself. Okay, whatever. If you're a teacher, you try to find these, quotes to keep you going. Simple as a kind. But if you're not a teacher and you're in class, so you do your best to, fake a laugh, and then we go on. Okay, now, here's the pshat. Here's what Rabbi Welcher said. He asked the following question. And I want to explain the question. He asked the following question. The question is, this punishment of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim appears to be pretty severe. 24,000 Talmidim died because Lenovo Kovet Zebazet. They weren't killing each other. They didn't have proper respect for one another. It appears to us to be a very severe punishment. Now, anytime you raise a question like this, you have to know, we don't know the answer to this question. Oh yeah, the answer is ABC. We don't know. We don't know how Hashem runs the world. But very often, the Mepharshim try to have an approach, an angle. How should we approach this? As an approach, how can one possibly begin to make sense of this? Is there any basic hashkafic structure which could help us understand? All of them died because they didn't treat each other with respect, and the question is sharpened when you finish the Gemara at the end. It says that if you just come meeting, the world was desolate of Torah until we find five new Talmidim. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Yossi, Rav Meir, Rav Ozer ben Shemua. These five Talmidim were the major Tanoim. A tremendous amount of the Tanoic literature that we have is from these five people. Which means, when you think about it, these 24,000 Talmidim would have been Tanoim. This was it. Shas would have been much longer. Torah Sebal Peh is a creative process. They would have created so many ideas of Torah and Drushas and the Chumash and worked things out. It's very hard to understand. 24,000 Tanoim are killed because they lack Derech Eretz one to another. It's a difficult question. So a vulture gave, you hear the question. And again, the answer I'm going to give now, it's an approach. You think of it, it's an approach, how to approach the topic. Rav Welcher gave the following approach, which I found later exactly in the writings of Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Welcher said as follows. There's a basic difference. Well, there are many differences, but there's one basic difference between being a teacher in the Torah world, and Lahavdil being a teacher in a secular discipline. Let's say professor in a college, you know, physics, chemistry, said as follows. In a secular discipline, if you're in a physics class, in a chemistry class, the personal moral life of the teacher is not so relevant to the class. If I'm in a physics class, I want to learn physics well. If this guy can explain physics to me in a clear way, and I understand the formulas, and I can figure it out, or chemistry, that's what I need. I need to understand chemistry well, I want to get a good job. I need to understand chemistry, I want to do research, whatever I want to know chemistry for, I want to understand the world better, whatever I want to know chemistry for, he's teaching me knowledge, facts, and my goal in the class is to understand the facts well. If he's a clear teacher, and he explains things well, if in his personal life, he's not the most moral person, that's not so relevant. I'm still going to ask him my questions, because I want to know how to know physics and do chemistry, whatever. In the Torah world, the Havdil, of course, is very different. In the Torah world, we don't believe in that. A person's a Rav, a person's a Posek. A person's a Rav, he's a teacher of Torah. His personal life has to fit with his Torah knowledge. Let's say you have a guy who's a genius, and he's a professor at Hebrew University. He's a non-religious Jew, let's say. And he sits down, he reads the whole Talmud, memorizes it, knows Rashi, knows the Rambam, he knows everything. But he's not a religious Jew. Are you going to have people, you know, B'nai Torah, asking Shilas, Imshat, and Rashi? Of course not. Because he's not a Baal Masorah. He's not on the inside. He knows a lot of Torah. But when it comes to teaching Torah, the living of Torah has to fit with the learning of Torah. We assume that a person's whole understanding of Torah, his whole approach to Torah, is going to be different if he's a tzaddik or if he's not. Rav Nemtzal Shlita gets phone calls from all over the world, shilas. It's not just because he's a genius, which he is, and he knows Kol Torah, which he does. It's because he's a tzaddik too. And because he's a tzaddik, so the fact that he knows Kol Torah means more. That's a basic yisod in the difference of the Torah and the secular discipline. So Welter said as follows. He thinks the two questions answer each other. Precisely because Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim would have been Tanoim, Hashem held them to a much higher standard. Precisely because Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim would have been Tanoim, Hashem held them to a higher standard. Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, these five Tanoim, they are the Baalei Masorah, they're in Shas. From that time in history, Mamish, Lo and Ba'ed, we're going to be studying their words of Torah. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, they're always quoting these Tanoim. If you're going to be a Baal Masorah to such a degree that your words of Torah are going to be quoted all the time and used all the time and applied, your living of Torah has to perfectly fit your learning of Torah to reflect the idea that in Judaism, you can't have the learning is yeah, the learning is yeah, and the living is like that. No. It has to be, if you're the ultimate Baal Masorah, you're a Tana, it has to be perfect. So maybe the two questions answer each other. Precisely, it is very severe. It's very severe precisely because of the role they would have played had they lived. Had they lived, they would have been Tanoim. Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, all their words would have been quoted all the time and used. They were his Talmidim. So maybe that's why they were, in a sense, treated more severely, because of what they would have been, what they would have stood for being the ultimate Baalei Hamasovah. This is what Rav Welter and Rav Aaron Cutler both said. And I think this mamish applies to us as far as our hachanah of Matan Torah goes. We're not Tanoim, and Hashem's not going to hold us to the same standard as he held at Kiva's Talmidim. But the idea that the living of Torah has to fit with the learning of Torah is exactly what applies to us during Sfiras Omer. What does it mean to prepare for Matan? What does it mean to prepare for Matan Torah? We're going to get the Torah again. Wonderful. Does it mean to learn Torah? No. It means to live a life of Torah. The whole purpose of Kabbalah Satorah is to live a life of Torah based on the Torah. That our living of Torah has to fit with our learning of Torah. So, Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, the message of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim dying, is exactly the message we have to be applying to ourselves as we're preparing for Shavuos. What's my goal for Shavuos? To learn a lot? Yeah. But also to rededicate myself to applying Torah in my personal daily life, the living of Torah. that my living of Torah has to match my learning of Torah. Again, not the, their standard is a high standard. Hashem treated them very, very severely because of their tanaim. We're not tanaim, but every person is a Baal Masorah, and one, you know, we're all part of the Masorah. Our job is to be Makabal, the Masorah from the previous generation, and pass it on to the next generation. We're all Baal Masorah in our own small way. And this, I think, might be a much, well, Walter explained this, this might be a much, a deeper explanation of this overlap between the basic message of Sefirah Shalom, Hachanah from Matan Torah, and the other message of the Avelus of Abhivas Tamidim dying, that they died, the message of their death is Kabbalah HaTorah has to mean the living of Torah fits with the learning of Torah. And that is our job when we're in our Hachanah for Shavuos, to prepare ourselves for a rededication to living according to the letter of and the spirit of the Torah. And not because I learn a lot of Torah in class. No, but it has to seep into my ordinary daily life. You got it? I think it's a very deep shot. Yeah. Say again? No, I'm saying as an approach, because they would have been Tanayim, yeah. I mean, they would have been in the Gemara, quoted all the time. The ultimate Balei HaMasorah, yeah. that a Tana should be someone whose personal life is like even a little bit imperfect, can't go. He has to be perfect, because to teach the idea, exactly this idea, that living of Torah has to fit perfectly with the learning of Torah. So if a Tana, who's a Tana, my Lima Torah, your Lima Torah is this important. A Tana's Lima Torah is this important, because he's a Tana, and it applies for all generations. His Lima Torah has to reflect the basic Torah Hashkafa of learning Torah has to fit in perfectly with living of Torah. And if it wasn't, and if it's not going to reflect it perfectly, he can't be a Tana. They would have been Tanaim. I mean, they would have been Tanaim. Again, I can't explain why Hashem could have, you know, made them all, you know, sick. He could have been a lot of other things. You know, that got to die. You know, we don't know how Hashem runs the world. But the general approach that they're treated more severely is because of who they were. That's the general approach. Yeah.
I think it also fulfills really from the Aleph, where it said, like, why are Americans, why are
who said that? What did it say? Huayah Omer is what?
When I
said Huayah Omer. Yeah.
I don't know who said that.
Oh, did the person say that? That's nice. Oh, really? Did the person say that?
Yeah.
It could be. It sounds like a nice word. That Huayah Omer, people explain to me, Huayah Masha. Huayah Masha Omer. I mean, he lived what he. Oh, that's very nice. I want to find that. Yeah. Fits very well. This is Manhattan little. Well, anyway, Huayah Masha Omer, that's a nice board, that he lived that which he taught. Anyway, so this is Sefirah Omer, where we had Pesach, it's like a time of renewal, so that, you know, the physical world's renewing, so in our own lives we have a sense of renewal, a rededication to Avodas Hashem, and that's the Hachana of Sefirah Omer from Matan Torah. Then Shavuos is going to come, we're going to have this tremendous rededication to living the Torah life, and not just being satisfied with learning a lot of knowledge. You got it?
Another way of saying this is that the message of Sefirah Omer that's taught to us by Rav Yehuda Tamidim dying is Nasa V'Nishma, that your living of Torah has to perfectly fit with your learning of Torah. In other words, that when you makabel the Torah anew, you makabel the Nasa V'Nishma. I'm a kabbal the Torah on Shavuos again in order to keep the Torah. That's the theme of that's the message that's coming across at Nasa V'Nishma. Our Hachana from Matan Torah includes this tremendous lesson in Nasa V'Nishma that was taught to us through or by, you know, the way Hashem dealt with Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim Adon, that one's living of Torah has to match his learning of Torah. Okay, we'll stop here. I just wanted to add a few makoros that I found just recently. There's a sefer called Hilchos. It's actually a set of svarim called Hilchos Chag B'Chag. It's by a rav named Rav Karp. He lives in Kiryat Sefer. He's a very big Talmud Chacham, Moshe Mordechai Karp, and he's written a whole series of svarim in Halacha and Lamdas on the Gemara, on the Yom Tovim. So in his Sefer on Sfiras HaOmer, on page Nun Aleph, he says exactly the same Yesod that Rav Aaron Cutler said, and Rav Elcher said, Yibodachim Rav Elcher said, and he said as follows. He said, L'anias Daiti, Yesh Lefaresh, T'lefi Shelo Noagu Kavod Ze Bezeh, V'haysa Einehen Sara Zu Bezu, Imkein Lo Hayuhem Re'uyim, Sheti Maser Al Yadam HaTorah. They weren't fitting that the Torah should be passed along through them. Rabbi Akiva was a Baal Masorah. Rabbi Akiva was a Baal Masorah, and they were Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, and they would have therefore been part of the Masorah. V'heim lo hayiruyim l'kach l'fi midasam. L'fichach, therefore, diktaka midas hadin imohen v'nenchu kulam v'lo zachlios mosrei haTorah. Oh, so he says exactly the same idea. But then he goes one step further and he points out as follows. There's a Pricharash who raises an interesting question. The Pricharash is a parish on the Shulchan Aruch, a very famous and important Achron. He asks as follows. You know, we have Minhag Yavelus during Sfiras HaOmer, and then on Lag BaOmer, we have a Yom Simcha. Why? So, the Pricharashim say, because that's when we assume the Talmidim stopped dying. So the Pricharash raises the question. It's a little strange. He says 24,000 Talmidim died. And, you know, he says what, there were, what's his language? His language is, he says, Lo nishar echad mehem. There weren't any left. They all died. So what exactly is the simcha? You know, when a plague stops, that's a simcha. When a plague stops, so in other words, you would stop having avelus. But to dafka have a yom simcha, that's a little, difficult. Why dafka have a yom simcha? So the Pichor says as follows. V'yefshar sheha simcha hi, Al osam talmidim shehosif achar kach Rabbi Akiva shelo meisu ka'elu. The simcha is in the fact that several talmidim survived, i.e. the simcha is the simcha of the survival of the Masorah. So many of Rabbi Akiva's talmidim were dying, Rahman al-Litzlan, the whole Masorah could have ended Rahman al-Litzlan. The simcha is he found five other talmidim, and through these talmidim the Masorah continued. And Rav Karp builds on that Pricharash and says, yeah, what happened on Lag BaOmer? That's the day that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was Nifter, and tradition has it that that's the day that he revealed the secrets of the Zohar to his Talmidim. In other words, Lag BaOmer is a time when we're besimcha about the survival of Torah, the Masorah of Torah Sheh Baal Peh, and the survival of the Masorah of the Torah Sanissa, Torah HaKabbalah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of those five Talmidim. So we are celebrating the fact that although so many Talmidim died, but the Masorah was maintained through the five new Talmidim who didn't die. And on Lag BaOmer, we achieved the complete, in a sense, the complete Masorah of both the ordinary Masorah of ordinary Torah Sheh Baal Peh, and further the Masorah of the Torah HaKabbalah, the Torah Sinistra of the Zohar, of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But I just wanted to add that Rav Karp has exactly the same approach that we presented before from Avraham Cutler Zatzal and Yibaruch Chaim Rav Elcher Shlita. And Rav Karp Shlita explains how the Pricharach's question and answer regarding the nature of Simcha Lag BaOmer fits with this idea that it was because the Talmidim couldn't be part of the Masorah that they were judged so severely that they died, and the simcha is that the Masorah Taka survived through the other Talmidim. And Rav Karp concludes that we have to learn from this that you have to be a Baal Midos Tovos in order to be Zocha for Kabbalah HaTorah, as we explained, Derech Eretz Kodmo LaTorah, that your living of Torah has to match your learning of Torah, and that's one of our Hachanos for Matan Torah, and that's one of the lessons that we learn from Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim time. Okay, I just wanted to add that makar. I think it fits very, very well with what we presented previously. Before closing, I wanted to add one point that I saw after I finished this year in the writings of Rav Nevin Sol Shlita. It's in his Sichot to Vayikra on page Reishayin Vav, and he says the idea of Derech Eretz Kodmo LaTorah really is hinted at in the Torah itself. Because before Matan Torah, we see several examples of Derech Eretz from Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate Mekabel HaTorah, the ultimate Melameh Torah. the ultimate lo mei Torah. So it makes sense that we would find in him derech eretz kadmo l'Torah. So Bimitzar points out that in the two episodes in the Torah right before Matan Torah, we see examples of derech eretz kadmo l'Torah. Number one, by the Milchemes Amalek. There are 2 points here. First of all, when Moshe tells Yeshua to go get people to fight Amalek, Moshe says, "Bechalanu anoshim," choose for us anoshim. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Moshe could have said, "Bechar li," choose for me, I'm the leader. No, he said, "Lanu." Moshe showed very proper midos in treating his Talmud. He gave a lot of cover to his Talmud. The Medrash says that Moshe treated his Talmud like his own level. And number two, the Torah tells us that Moshe, he was getting tired, so he sat down on a rock in order to be able to have more strength to keep his hands up when he was sitting on the rock instead of standing. So Chazal say, why did Moshe sit on a rock when Moshe couldn't find a pillow to sit on? So the Gemara says in Tainus, in Daf Yud Aleph, Kach Amar Moshe, Ho v'Yisrael shu'im b'tzar, af ani ayeh imayim b'tzar. If Bnei Yisrael are in Tzaras, I'm going to be in Tzaras with them. That's called Nosei b'olim chaveiro. Moshe was sharing in their pain. Moshe felt it wasn't proper midos for Bnei Yisrael to be with Tzaras and him sitting comfortably. So we see two examples of Milchemes Amalek, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he cares about other people. Those are two expressions of proper midos. The next episode in the Torah is when Yisrael comes to greet Moshe. Yisrael comes to Har Sinai to greet Bnei Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah describes the cover that Moshe showed Yisrael. Moshe goes out to greet Yisrael. Now, you know, by the way, at this point, Yisrael is still a guy. I mean, he is Moshe's father-in-law, but he's a guy. He wasn't Iskari yet. Mamash a guy. And Moshe goes out to greet him. And Moshe goes, and then Aaron goes, then the Zakenim go, and all of Christ goes out to greet Yisrael. And it says Vayishtachu Vayishaklo, and it says that Moshe kissed him first, that in front of all of Klal Yisrael. Moshe kissed him, and Moshe asked him how he's doing. So Moshe is treating Yisrael with tremendous respect. It's a tremendous example of midos tovos. Derech eretz kadmo l'Torah. Furthermore, Yisrael then gives Moshe advice, and Moshe listens to the advice. I mean, true, Yisrael says, you know, ask Hashem, you know, b'tzivcha Hashem. But Yisrael gives Moshe advice, and Moshe listens to Yisrael's advice. Now, one could easily have imagined Moshe saying, you know, to himself, you know, I'm the leader of the Jewish people. I brought all the makos, you know, from Hashem on the Mitzrim. I don't need advice from this, you know, goyish priest. But that's how Moshe said. He listened, and he took his advice seriously, and then he went and he did ask Hashem, but Moshe brought the Eitz in front of Hashem. So we see again a tremendous example of midos tovos. Derech eretz kadmo l'Torah. Moshe treats a goy with tremendous, again, it's his father-in-law, but with tremendous respect. Listens to what he has to say. He's lo made mikol adam. This is derech eretz kadmo l'Torah. That Moshe Rabbeinu himself is giving us leadership in this teaching us this idea that before you're mekabel the Torah, you have to work on your derech eretz first. So these are the several ideas that Rav Nemetzal adds to this yisod of derech eretz kadma l'Torah. But I also wanted just to point out that on page Reish Tzadi Aleph, Rav Nemetzal also says this idea in a similar, not exactly the same way, but in a similar way, that the reason why Hashem judged Rabbi Kiva Slavim so harshly is precisely because there would have been Tanaim. Since the Hashkacha worked it out that the Messiah is going to be passed along, the Torah Shabbat Perth, Da'afka through Rabbi Akiva, so his Talmidim had to be the ultimate Bali Messiah. They had to basically be perfect Kalim for the Messiah, and since they weren't, so they were killed. So he says that might be a pshat. He says maybe that's the reason why the Gzer was so severe, Da'afka on Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. So Rav Nemetzal Shlita has a similar approach to the one that we developed earlier in the name of the other Rabbanim, Rabban Cutler Zatzal, and Yibar Ochaim Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, Rav Welcher Shlita. Okay, now we'll really stop here.